Ohio approved and licensed for disposal. At Ron Evans Enterprises, they specialize in sewage system installation and repair. Ron Evans has a full line of flex pipe, culverts, concrete and plastic septic tanks, sewer fittings, waterline rolls for the Home American water heaters, along with toilets, standard and ADA. It's all at Ron Evans Enterprise, LLC. Give them a call today at 1-800-537-9528 or 740-286-5930.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Belicio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Belicio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Belicio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at beliciofoods.com/careers.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the morning show right here on Main Street TV, where we have yet another special guest, two special guests here on the program this morning. And we're going to talk about all things bowling today. And you think bowling's easy? Number one, it isn't. And number two, there's a whole lot of strategy and stuff to it, as I have just learned before we went on the air. So welcome, guys. Can you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Blake Woodyard. I am a freshman at Jackson High School.
And I'm Scott Kilgore. I teach at the high school, coach boys and girls bowling, and this is our seventh year.
So I was going to ask you, as far as sports at the school go, bowling is relatively new, right? Is it new in general as a high school sport, Scott, or is it?
I think this is year 15.
Okay.
And about 8 years ago, I went to a couple of the administrators. I said, we need to have a bowling team at the high school.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd be glad to coach it.
They were like, oh, good.
Because Wilson had it a couple of years already.
Okay.
And what happened was they said, we don't think it's going to happen. And the next year, we moved into the FAC. The FAC has bowling, and those teams, when they left their leagues, they had been at it for numerous years.
Okay.
So we joined the FAC. We're the new team. All the rest of them had bowling. So here we are, coming in brand new. I think the boys team probably averaged like maybe 130. Now we're like 180. So we have increased. But yeah, it's a big sport. There's a lot of kids doing it now. College scholarships, a lot of scholarships.
And it's like – it's so great to know. It's like, Dylan here doing some of the esports that kids are actually being able to go to college and things for that. And it's not just football or basketball or whatever now. There's all these other opportunities out there for kids. I think it's great.
Well, Blake's brother, he bowls for college, doesn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, Ryan Grand.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah.
So your brother, well, we're going to get to that because I know one of your goals is to crush his records, right?
That shouldn't be that hard.
Well, okay. So Jackson has had a bowling team and like locally here for, what'd you say? 7 years?
7 years. Yep.
Very cool. That would be hard to start like a brand new program.
Oh,
that
definitely.
Probably kind of fell on your shoulders.
Well, Pat Stevens came to me and it was like September, I think. And he said, hey, we decided we want a bowling team. Is it too late? He asked me, I was like, when's their season? I don't know. I have to look.
Yeah, when is the bowling season?
Yeah, so it's a winter sport. So
okay.
It, just like basketball and wrestling. So I'm like, well, I'll have to do some checking. And, of course, I probably didn't get a lot of teaching done that afternoon. I was on the high school athletic site, and I was like, yeah, we can pull this off. So I told him, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. So, it is a winter sport.
Okay.
And the great thing about bowling, we have a lot of, I'll say non-traditional athletes. And we have a good time. And I have a rule that says, you know, two things, no drama, have fun. If we keep the drama out, we'll have fun.
There you go.
That's my two main rules. So
I like those rules.
Yeah.
That should apply to most things in life, right?
Yeah, definitely, yes.
So, Blake, you are here because you have done something that most freshmen, most kids in general don't do, but as a freshman, you have qualified for the state bowling tournament. That is crazy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very good. And so let's talk a little bit about you and like how you got started bowling. Now, I know your dad. I've known your dad for 100,000 years. That makes us old.
Yeah, he's pretty old.
He's going to kill us. But no, so your dad actually delivers beer, right?
Yep.
And so we've known him forever because he has done that and is such a good dude. And I can remember years ago talking to him about bowling, and he's a pretty good bowler himself, right?
Yep.
So how did you get started?
Just through him, probably about since I could walk. I've done bowling and I've stuck to it for my whole life.
Really?
Yep.
So, and is it like, I mean, is it more of like work for you, or is it something you look forward to every day? Like,
I look forward to it, but it's just a passion.
Yeah.
And see, last year Blake was a basketball player, and I was kind of concerned that, hey, he may choose basketball or bowling. Same season, so.
Yeah, it is the same season. I assume you can't do both, or can you?
Possibly, but it'd be tough. You
know, it would be hard.
Yeah, we have 20 matches, bowling, basketball 20-some games, so yeah, it'd be tough.
And then you have a brother,
yep.
And his name is?
Sean Woodyard.
Sean. And Sean graduated now, and as you said, he's playing, or he's bowling at Rio.
Yep.
So your brother's pretty good, too.
Yep.
And so tell us a little bit about the competition there.
Very tough. It's neck and neck every time we bowl each other, and usually we end up arguing.
Well, that's just brothers in general, right?
Yep.
So who's the better bowler?
I like to think I am.
Okay.
His college coach said I'm better, so.
Oh! Did he really?
Yep.
That's so funny. No, and then, so your brother has a lot of records there at the school that you have, you're working toward breaking, right?
Yep.
Or have you broken some of them already?
I've broke some of them, but the main one I want to break is his 299 and the top of the record book, so that means I got to shoot a 300 in high school.
That's a perfect score, right?
Yep.
Have you ever, you haven't done that yet?
Nope. The closest I've been is a 288.
Okay. Well, you're a freshman. I think you have some time.
Yeah.
I think you've already put three.
Three or four.
Yeah, on there, because I handle that part of the website, and I put the bowling records in, and each time he gets one, it's always like, hey, have you changed that yet? I'll get to that. So.
Take my brother off and put my name on. Yeah. So what are some of the records that are set with bowling?
For Jackson?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have like team record, individual record, and there's, when you bowl, there's Baker games, there's regular games. So my first year I handled the kind of the school website, and I thought that'd be really cool to put records on there, and we announce them. Of course, when we first started, records were falling all the time because it's constantly, you know.
Yeah, right.
And we'd make those announcements, and now the kids, when they break a record, they're like, hey, make sure you get down on announcements. Got down the website yet? So, so yeah, it's fun to, at least it's on there where they can all see it, so that's great.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then does the website, is it the high school website, or do you all have your own?
Yeah, it's on the high school athletic page, and they can go over. It's got like records over to the side, so they can bring it up and see it. So
love that. So you can see your name a little bit, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
So is your name up more than your brother's now?
I think it's about even now.
Well, I mean, you've only been at 1 year. You got three more to go. So yep.
That's right.
I'm sure he'll pass him.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Okay. So state bowling tournament as a freshman. Now that is really, really cool. And I think, we'll see, we've had McKenna do that, craft and wrestling, but I don't know if anybody else has done that as a freshman. So let's talk about, like, how does high school bowling work, Coach? Like, how How many matches do you play? How does that work?
We'll have about 20 matches. We'll do some tournaments like Columbus, so the kids get used to big. Some of them never, you know, bowled in any other bowling alleys that aren't just here.
Okay.
So we'll have matches against local teams, Wilson, Vinh County. Then we have our FAC matches. In a typical match, you'll bowl two regular games, just like games you've bowled. And then we'll have a Baker game, which is every bowler bowls two frames. So, like, I'd bowl the first frame, sixth frame. You'd bowl the second, seventh. And then we put our best bowler in the fifth because then they bowl the tenth frame. So each bowler gets two frames spaced out. And usually we do two regular games, three Bakers. And then the team with the most.
So when you get to, like, a match, are there more than – are you playing just, like, Jackson and another team, or are there other teams there as well?
So with the FAC matches, it's just the team that is scheduled, but sometimes we do have something called a dual match, which is which that usually happens down at Skyline with
Sometimes we'll book like Guy and River Valley, like a tri match.
Okay.
And then we'll go to tournaments where there's 50 teams, and then so that's but on the big tournaments you might have 50 teams. The top eight go into like a playoff.
So in a match, because I just don't know anything about this. I think it's so cool. So in a match, like if you were playing, say, Vinton County or Wellston or somebody, you would bowl two games yourself against
Vinton.
They would have five bowlers. So all five would bowl and we would, they'd have five, we'd have five. And that's just individual games. It's like being out with four of your friends, you know, five of you just bowling one time.
Okay.
And we start the next regular game, and then we break for a little bit, and we go into Baker games.
Okay.
So everybody bowls two regular games, three Bakers. And I can, just like any sport, I can sub in or out if a bowler's injured or not bowling good. I might pull them out, put somebody else in, give them
a break or let them regroup or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are all I was teasing him. I was like, what, you didn't bring your bowling ball? He was like, well, it's in the car. So, like, how do you choose, like, so I assume you have your own bowling ball and all that stuff. Yep. So how do you know, like, I'm thinking of that.
Yes.
Is it like, so I'm thinking of that movie Kingpin where he had the clear ball. You probably, have you seen that movie? Oh, okay.
So how many bowling balls do you have now?
I've 10 or 11.
Oh, you're kidding. Nope. So how do you know what one to choose for the day?
When the practice starts before the match, I try my hardest to throw about every ball that I brought with me just to see which one works the best. And then whichever one works the best, I start out with. And then with lane transition, I switch balls and just go from there.
So off the air, Coach was telling us, and you were telling us about, I have to tell this story on myself because I was telling them that the first time I ever bowled, I didn't know that if you got past the line, that the lanes are actually super slick. And you were saying that's they're oiled.
Down. Yeah, they put oil down.
So I hit that and just busted my rear end in front of, half the school, and it was really embarrassing. But, so I learned quickly to not go past that line. But you were saying that for different tournaments, the lanes are actually, the way that they oil them is like kind of a strategy or whatever. You have to study that. So can you kind of like explain how that whole thing works? I think Dylan has a picture.
Yeah, typically.
What are we looking at there?
What kind of shot do you think that is?
That is just basically a house shot, but very modified. With basically the middle of the lane is drenched and towards the outside is a little bit drier. So you could play just about any line on that, but you got to be really accurate.
So usually in our normal high school matches, we bowl on it's called a typical house shot.
Okay.
What that means is there's more oil in the middle. It's a little drier to the outside.
Okay.
So if you're throwing a lot of revs like he does, a lot of spin on the ball, he wants to stay more in the oil. Bowlers who throw a little less rev, they want to move to the outside and catch the dry part of the lane.
Okay.
So with the sectional, the oil was a little wider, I think, wasn't it?
Yep.
So sectional in the district, it was the same pattern. Now with the state, they changed the oil pattern.
Is this the oil pattern for the state?
Yeah. So okay. We'll go up there later today, and we'll practice on that some to figure out which ball he needs to throw. And the other thing that's really tough is oil moves after time. So as bowlers are throwing a ball out, the oil starts to move down, it moves out, and then your shot changes. That's why it's important sometimes to have a different ball to switch to a ball that, you know, will have more break to cover the oil as it moves around. So it gets, and that's why I was saying before we come on air, it's really tough. You got to learn all these different oil patterns and where the oils move to, and makes the game more challenging.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Of course, it's hard enough just to stand up, as you know.
Exactly.
And then you got to worry about where the oil's at.
Evidently, when I bowl, there's a lot of oil toward the gutter because that's where my ball typically ends up.
And then coming back with you, maybe, yeah. So.
So, no, that is so cool. I had no idea. And so, is it before every game that Elaine is oiled, or is it, you know, every so often?
Yep. Before every match, we, and sometimes practices, the owners of the bowling alleys and the workers there, they bring out the machine and they oil the lanes for us so we can have a fresh shot to practice on. And for where we've been in sectionals and districts, the owner of the Wilson Bowling Alley has came down and laid down a certain pattern for us to practice on so we can get a feel for it.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's really cool.
And here's the problem, too, that each set of lanes are not, or each bowling house, the lanes aren't always the same, different types of synthetic.
So we were talking about that off the air, too, is that depending on what the flooring is, that makes a difference.
And then you have different qualities of oil, different types of oil, different types of machines. So I explain it to people like basketball. Yeah, you go to one basketball court, the rim's 10 foot, next one's 9.5, next one's 10.5. So you got to get used to every – they could tell you what kind of shot they're laying down, but it's not always the same.
So there's so many variables to it.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I'm learning something new every day. This is so cool.
And then he's getting ready to go compete, and you got three games. That's it. You know, you gotta adjust quick, or it's too late.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were saying something really cool about Blake is that he does adjust quick.
Oh yeah, he's a great athlete. He stays in his own mind. His brother would get frustrated a little quicker. Blake never gets frustrated at the district level. He had three splits, maybe?
Yep.
Three splits. Yeah, that's where he got a gap between the pins.
Which is a bad thing.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. He picked two of those up. You know, he didn't get frustrated. He just got right back there, got refocused.
Good for you.
Picked them
up.
And
awesome.
It was that close. If he'd missed one of those, he wouldn't have moved on. So that's how close it is. Yeah.
So tell me, like, when you started bowling with your dad when you could walk.
Yep.
And so how did you, like, how do you learn? Like, how do you start learning how to bowl?
Well, when I started off, I just
grabbed. Did you have, like, the pads and the bumpers?
Yep. When I started off, I had the bumpers. I had the little ramps. And then once I gained a little muscle in my arms when I was still basically a toddler, I just grabbed the ball and started chucking it down the lane, and sometimes it didn't roll all the way to the pins. It'd stop because it didn't have enough speed, but...
Oh, that's so cute.
But I've stuck with it, and now I throw it about 19 miles an hour down the lane.
And he's a two-handed bowler. I don't know if you knew that.
Okay, now...
It used to be...
What?
Well, I'll let him explain that to you, because I'm not a two-handed bowler, but he is.
Two-handed is basically where most bowlers have just one hand and they just swing their arm back, but I have both hands on the ball, swing both arms back, and usually gives bowlers more like rev rate and sometimes speed, but that's not always the case. But some people don't like two-handers, but I feel like it's the future of the sport.
Really?
Bowling two-handed.
So do you is that just how you started bowling, or did you choose for that to be your technique?
Dad tried to make me stick with one-handed, but I fought him and stayed with two-handed.
Well, it's obviously working for you.
Yep.
So, do we have any videos of you bowling?
Yep, he has one.
Can we play that, Dylan?
Yeah, let me just find it real quick.
Okay, because I would like to see this two-handed method. And so, do you... Is it just God-given talent, coach, or is there a lot of practice, or
both? I mean, there's technique, and not every kid does the same thing. Some throw one-handed, two-handed, but the better bowlers throw the ball harder with more revs.
And when you say revs, can you explain that?
Well, it's like how fast the ball's turning over. And it's got to turn in the correct direction. It's got to go, if you're right-handed, right to left into the pins. So he throws hard with a lot of revs, keeps a tight line, and that's what makes him so good at doing it.
Whoa, that's so fast!
But if you notice, he starts out two-handed, and two-handers usually don't put their thumb in the ball, so he's using only their two fingers.
So with two-handed, the hand that is on the bottom of the ball is what you're releasing with, but the other hand that's on the ball is basically just a guide. So when I go back, it...
What? That's so fast!
Yep. So basically, I am a one-handed bowler, but I have two hands on the ball because the other hand is just a guide.
Okay.
And see, some years back, they changed the rule that if you have a thumb hole in the ball, your thumb must be in it. A lot of kids were just leaving their thumb out. So now with Heath, though, he can have his finger holes. He can't have a thumb hole. Or that'd be breaking the rules today.
Really? Yeah. So do you stick your fingers in the finger holes or? Yep.
Just my two fingers.
Two fingers, yep. And then, so no thumb?
No thumb.
That just seems...
There funny. Are some two-handers that use their thumb, but I actually used to do that, and then I just stopped doing that, and it's working.
So when you talk about back to the bowling ball situation, like how do you choose what ball to order? I mean, I assume that you have like a special made one, or do you just go to Walmart and buy a bowling ball?
Nope, there is, there's different websites you can go to, bowlingball.com, bowl.com.
Or your local pro shops at Chillicothe and Galveston.
Local pro shops, and you usually just pick out a ball, and then they drill it how you want it to be drilled, and then you can just go out and throw it and try it out and sometimes make adjustment to it, but usually that's not the case.
What is a bowling ball made out of?
So a spare ball is just like a plastic coat. You want to go into that?
Well, spare balls are slick. They're not meant to break at all.
What is a spare ball?
It's a plastic ball, so it won't have any traction. I compare them to like tires.
But what would you, to pick up a spare?
Yeah, certain spares.
Okay.
So like the 10 pin, the one to the right's the arch enemy of most right-handers. You use a spare ball, a slick ball, plastic ball for that. And then where he throws so much rev, he can't throw a real aggressive ball. So the makeup, they all look the same, but they have different traction to them.
Okay.
And I explain it like tires. You know, some tires are meant to go through snow. That's a real aggressive ball. Yep. And then you got one that's kind of middle of the road, a hybrid.
Yep.
And then you got a pearl. These are all reactive resins. That's what they're made out of.
And then the ball that everybody in the bowling community hates is a urethane. So a urethane is just, it's a urethane cover stock, and it, once that ball hits the line, it's just pushing oil the whole entire way.
Yep. Oh, what would you use that for?
Usually when the lanes are getting dry and towards like the end of tournaments and just to like make more oil down towards the end so your ball could have a little bit more time to read the lane.
I gotcha.
And a top bowling ball drilled, everything's close to $250, so they're expensive.
Oh,
expensive.
This isn't cheap.
No. Mm-mm.
So do you have pretty shoes? Do you have your own bowling shoes?
Yep.
You don't wear the Velcro ones like the rest of us?
No.
That's so gross, by the way. So how do you know, like, what shoes to buy and all that?
It's just based off of what hand you are. If you're right-handed, the slide will be on your left foot. And if you're left-handed, the slide will be on your right foot.
And your Velcro shoes are slick on both. So that's why
you just bust your butt no matter what.
They do that, and they have cameras set to see you do that.
Yes, so exactly. Then they play it back on Facebook. Not really. I'm just joking about that. So you're saying that you go and you pick out. So do you pick out a ball because it's pretty, or do you pick it out for?
Well,
some other reason?
That is how my mom is. She just likes the look of it. She just kind of tosses the ball down the lane.
I want the pink one.
I've had girls on the team do it. I say, don't pick the pretty ball. Spend all your money on, you know, get pretty shoes, but let me tell you what kind of ball you need. Don't get the pretty one. That's what I'm still doing. Yeah.
I mean, I can see that. It's such a girl thing. So about how many people do you all have on the boys' team and then the girls' team?
Well, usually it's about 15 boys, 15 girls, give or take in there. So there's you need five to bowl. You can have up to three subs. Then you can have a JV team, a second JV if you want.
Okay.
So a typical match at our bowling alley, we'll have boys varsity, JV boys, varsity girls bowling at the same time, JV girls. Then we may even have a third team.
And then everybody's all bowling.
Yeah, give everybody experience. Everybody gets to play.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Now, when you go to these big tournaments, it may only be varsity only. The JV, you know, won't be able to go to that. But.
Sure. So are you – I assume you're on the varsity team. That is so cool.
So we were talking earlier. A lot of people don't understand in bowling there's only two divisions, Division One, Division Two. In Jackson, we're – and they just – the state cuts the line right in half. So if there's 400 schools with bowling, who's the 200 biggest, who's the 200 smallest? So we're in that 200 biggest group.
We
have 277 boys in our school. The biggest school in Division One has 1,300. So we could literally be going up against a school of 1,300 boys against, you know, so it's not really fair the way it's set up.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And for us, he bowled in the sectionals in Columbus. So we don't bowl down here. We go up to Columbus and bowl in a central district.
Okay.
Which there was, I think, 55 teams we competed against.
Yep.
The top 16 bowlers, or top 16 teams, top 16 bowlers not on those teams advanced to the district. So he made that no problem. And we had Andrew Miller also make it. Two boys make it.
Okay.
Andrew's little sister, the freshman, she just missed by five pins moving on.
Oh, man.
Then from the districts, they take the top four teams and top four bowlers not on those teams. So he competed as an individual, him and Andrew. And then he was able to advance on from there to the state.
That is so good.
Now, at the state, we got 16 teams and 16 individuals from the entire state coming to Columbus, and that's what he's bowling in tomorrow.
Yep.
So you'll be not doing the team thing this time, but doing the individual thing.
Yep, I won't be as an individual, but the kids that are on the team as well are also there as an individual, so I'm against everybody pretty much.
Yes, yeah, so I think 100, wow. Basically 106. Yep.
106 against me.
And they'll take the top five after three regular games, top five scores, and they'll make first team all Ohio, the next five second team, and then the next five's intermediate or something. I can't remember what they call that. Honorable mention, maybe.
Honorable,
okay. The next five. So top bowlers, you know, the bowler of the year for the state.
So what do you get if you win the state? To say you won the state?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, nice trophy, and I'm sure a lot of scholarship opportunities.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Seems like if you could do well at the state tournament, you certainly would get noticed. Yep. And as a freshman, that would give you plenty of time to start talking to colleges and stuff.
Yep.
So that is so awesome, you guys.
Yep.
So what is your – so you're going to go to Columbus today, and where do you bowl in Columbus?
It's HP lanes, it's high performance lanes in pretty much the middle of Columbus, maybe just a little north.
Yeah, right off Cleveland Avenue.
Okay.
Right in the middle of Columbus.
Very cool. And have you bowled there before?
Yep.
Okay.
This wasn't in high school, but I was at a youth Pepsi tournament, and I was last year, and I bowled my highest series there, which was a 738, I think, for three games.
Wow.
That's average, a little over 240 a game, huh?
Yep.
Good bowling.
And, I mean, obviously the highest you can get is 300, so, yep. Right? So, have you done that yet? Have you ever done that? Like, not necessarily in tournament, but have you bowled a 300 before?
Nope, not yet.
That's what I'm working on. Not yet. For. I love that.
We've had some bowled in. His brother bowled 299, but we've had some bowled against us from other teams in the FAC bowled 300s. And
I think Sean's bowled a 300 in practice before.
Yep, he did.
Man. God, I can't even imagine the pressure of like that last like frame that you're throwing the ball. Like you just have to get all of those pins.
Yep, my highest game ever is a 288 right now, and I had the front 10 strikes in a row, and then once I was up for the 11th strike, I was shaking. I could barely stand. I just
ball gets heavy, doesn't it? Gets a lot heavier all of a sudden.
I'll bet.
It's a lot of nerves.
Yeah, you gotta get out of your own head, huh?
But dad's rule is if you have the first five first five strikes, you just don't look at the scoreboard, so you can just stay in the zone.
I think that's a good rule.
Yep.
Yep. Because when I had the front 10, I looked up and I was like, oh no, this is real. And then it just got in my head.
Yeah.
And usually what happens, everybody around you stops bowling and they just stand there and watch.
They're waiting.
That makes it even worse. Yeah, they're standing back watching you do that. So that's even added pressure onto you.
So we were talking off the air too about something that is a little bit different than it used to be. And like, because Dylan was talking about it would be fun to like live stream some of the bowling matches and stuff. But you were saying like it used to be like golf where it was like, shh, be quiet, they're bowling. And now you said it's just like everybody's cheering. Well,
when the first time we had a match and when I first coached the first match, the other teams have chants, especially the girls, and they're hollering, carrying on. They've all got chants.
And you're like, wait, what's the etiquette of all
like,
of this?
Like, wait a minute. It used to be you'd watch the PBA on TV, and everybody'd be real quiet. Now everybody's screaming and hollering on the PBA, and it made it more exciting, and it's great. Yeah, it really is. It's everybody's lively, but at the same time, yeah, it's like you're getting up there, getting ready to bowl, and does it distract you any when you bowl?
That's why I was wondering.
Sometimes, especially with, like, Hillsboro and Chillicothe, their chants are, they have like 30 different chants, and I'd be on a great game and I just start going up and a bunch of screaming happens. So sometimes I even tend to like stop mid approach and go back and reset.
But there is a reason for that. I mean, it's twofold. One, to get your team pumped up and motivated.
Sure.
And also to take the air out of the other team.
Yeah.
And it works. You know, they get hollering and all of a sudden you get down and you do something good. You get motivated and holler back and, I mean, there is a point behind that. But.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what's your chant?
We have a few, but they just make no sense.
Some of them don't, yeah.
We just do it for fun.
I was going to say, do you guys, like, you know, go to the cheerleaders or like, hey, we need some chants, help us out here.
No.
That's a good, we'll use that next year.
Yeah, go to the cheerleaders, man. Who better to come up with some chants than them?
Yep.
We need some bowling chants up in here. I mean, we have state champion cheerleaders. Surely to God they can come up with some bowling chants for you.
Hopefully.
So tell me about, like, what will happen over the next – because the tournament's actually – the state tournament is tomorrow?
Yeah, boys tomorrow, yes.
Okay, so tell us what all will happen tomorrow.
Because
we want to keep track of you.
Yeah. What time check-in's at when?
Check in at 9. I think officially starts at 10:30.
Yep.
The actual bowling.
So you get out of school for that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a good thing about bowling because even with middle of the week matches, we leave school early. So
that's my motivation when he was up there at the dish. I was like, come on, Blake, you got to get this spare so we can get out of school for another day.
I love that. I mean, I can't think of any better motivation than that. So you'll show up there tomorrow morning. Well, you're going to go up and practice today, which they let you do, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, because they got a new oil pattern. They got one oil pattern for sectional district, one for the state. So it's really important to get up there and throw on that new oil pattern on those lanes and figure out what boy needs to throw.
Yep.
Yep, just get a feel for it.
Yep, I'll probably have thrown every ball I have because during tournaments we have a limit of 6 balls, right?
Yeah, two bags. You can have 3 balls to bag, so they only let you bring in up to 6.
Yeah, we have a limit of 6, and I have 6 outside, so.
I can't believe you didn't bring them in here. We could have thrown them at Dylan. It would have been so fun.
Yeah, we don't want to get him injured before he goes up there.
No.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. So how do you keep from injuring yourself? I mean, I'm looking at that video of you throwing that ball, and it looks like you throw it 700 miles an hour. So how do you keep from getting hurt?
Well, just don't go past the foul line and fall.
Like Jen?
Yeah. I don't really know. Like, just.
Because it seems like there's a lot to, like, your back and all of that. Like,
especially the two-handers. I mean, it's you won't see older people like me throwing two-handed
because
it requires so much turning and twisting. Yes, I mean, it does require a lot. And we have injuries. I mean, we will have injuries every year.
Just pretty much every day, my lower back starts throbbing because of how low I get and how much turning I do. And it's just my quads, my calves, and everything. It's just got to exercise them so they could stay in shape and not
collapse. So what do you do? Lots of squats?
Yeah. during gym class, we're doing weight training now, so I do calf raises and stuff like that.
Very cool.
We do drink a lot of pop and eat pizza. That's one of the few sports you can sit there and eat pizza when you're...
I was going to say, so, yeah, I mean, so like...
You can't do that in football or basketball right during the match.
So you can actually have yourself some food while you're playing the match. Because what better to... I mean, you got to eat pizza when you're bowling, right? Oh,
it's mandatory. Do we eat pizza about every time?
Yeah. Unless it's the bowling, I was just busy and we just can't get it. That's about the only time we don't.
But we got a great parent group. We have a lot of people donate. And I got to throw a special thanks out to Brandon Oliver. He did a fundraiser online for his wrestlers. And he got a hold of me and said, hey, can we include your bowler? And I said, yeah, heck yes. Get Blake some money to go up there. He said, maybe he needs a new bowling ball. I said, I don't think he needs any more bowling balls.
I don't think he needs any more.
A couple of nice state hoodies or something, and a nice meal. Yeah, that'd be great. So,
yeah awesome.
So Brandon helped us out on that.
Yep.
Well, very cool. So I am so excited to see how this thing goes tomorrow. So what are you going to do to prepare? What are you going to do to get yourself psyched up?
Just eyes on the prize. Just hopefully... place, if I don't get first place, I want to place at least in the top five. So,
okay, I was gonna say, I mean, as a freshman, I know obviously your goal would be to win, but like, what would you be happy with?
Just top five mainly, but I don't know who's on the other teams, but at districts, I think I was the only freshman up there. So,
yeah, I looked at one page, had like 50 bowlers. He was the only freshman I've seen out of 50 on there, so that's great. Wow. Yeah.
So I'm going against juniors and seniors mainly. So I'm the only freshman, and I'm at this level, so it's pretty surreal.
I'd say so. Very cool. So what's your favorite subject in school?
Not his class.
Oh, gee, thanks.
What do you teach?
Computers and personal finance. And I've had him, the third time?
Not his class. That's awesome.
Yeah, last semester I had him two times during the day, and now I have him once this semester.
You just can't get rid of your coach, can you?
His class is fun. All we do is
joke. I constantly got time. Quit watching bowling videos. Get busy. Over and over.
Except for this week, and it's okay.
That's okay this week, yeah.
Yep.
Very good. So what's your favorite kind of pizza to eat while you're bowling?
Just cheese and pepperoni.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way too.
But we, as Jackson, we travel good. I mean, we $140, $150 every time, everywhere we go. So we eat a lot of pizza.
That's a good thing. So are parents and everything allowed to go? Like, so who can go watch the state bowling tournament? Can like anybody go?
Yep, anyone. A $15 entry at the door for the OHSAA stuff.
Okay.
To buy tickets.
Awesome.
$15 a ticket, I think.
And they've got certain rules. Like so far down, it can only be athletes and coaches, and then parents cannot communicate with their bowler whatsoever. So they're just down there strictly with the coach and bowling.
Yep.
Well, so you're not getting the.
you'll get some hand signals sometimes and some. Gestures, but no, it's a rule. Except the coach is actually the official. So like in a match, coach is the official. Parents can't communicate during the match.
So what would be like? What are some of the rules like that people would that you'd get in trouble for like breaking a rule?
The biggest
other than like the parents. Talking to the kids.
The biggest got to be the parents, but there's other things you can't have like resin. That you put on your hands for the ball, you can't
to make it
better
stick.
Grip. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't do anything to your ball during once practice starts. You can't like sand your ball down to get more traction. You can't put cleaner on it then.
You can't at all be on your phone. It can't be anywhere near you because you can't have an earpiece in just in case you're on a call with someone telling you what to do.
So that was going to be one of my questions that I asked you. I'm glad you said that. Like, you're not allowed to wear like listen to music and tune all the chants out and stuff like that while you're bowling.
Can't do that.
Oh, now,
they can wear earplugs as long as they're not earbuds.
I got you. So nothing. You can't listen to it. You can plug your ears, listen to music or whatever. Okay.
And then you'd have to go watch a big tournament, but they have because all the parents in the floor is usually one level, you really can't see over top the coaches and the bowlers, so the parents can't see what's happening on the lanes. All they can see is the score. So a lot of them make periscopes.
Yep.
A cardboard periscope. I don't know what's in there, a mirror of some type.
It's a cardboard box with a mirror on the bottom that's pointed up, and then the mirror at the top is like pointed out towards the lanes.
Yeah, and they bring a two-step ladder, yep, to stand on the top steps. They can see over everybody. So there'll be a row of, you know, of ladders all the way down the bowling alley. Then you'll have the periscopes lined out everywhere, looking over top. And
now some of the periscopes you can buy online. It's just the same thing, but just a pole. Mom has one, but it's at the house.
Oh, that would have been fun. We could have brought that in.
Yep.
So your mom is sitting out in the hallway because she wouldn't come in because she said that you said you would giggle if she,
yeah,
was in here.
I'd probably laugh.
Is she pretty funny?
No.
No?
No.
Then why would you be laughing?
Yeah, I don't know. She's just in there.
So what's your advice that your dad's giving you for the state tournament?
Just focus on yourself and nothing else. Just make good shots, and if you make a bad one, turn around and refocus.
Yeah, get over it and, yep, move on. So how much coaching do you have to do during these matches?
So I'm the boys and the girls coach and varsity and JV. So, you know, Blake will tell you a lot of times I'm not there to help them. I'll be down helping the, yep, and there's the one tournament, what, you guys were on like lane 48 and the girls were on lane 3. So I, yep, probably walked 4 miles that day. Oh, yeah, it's impossible. So, but it's a good thing, too. They have to learn how to make their own adjustments. And, you know, I don't sit there and micromanage. So, but, you know, most of the time you help them in the matches. And then after that, it's just small little tweaks, you know, get, yep, move here a little bit, move there.
So, like, when you're because you do have practices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then so you can be there for that and be like, okay, well, in this lane, I'm thinking you should do this.
Yep. So if, like, your ball is going down a lane and it's hooking a lot more than it should or too soon, you usually either move back a step or two or you move left. So it gives more time for the ball to read the lane and have time to break.
Okay. Because I've seen, like, some people that actually probably know how to bowl and don't do granny style like I do, that their ball, like, some people it kind of goes more straight, and then others, I mean, it, like, curves out, and you think it's going in the gutter, and then it cuts back in. What's the reasoning for that?
It's usually just the core inside of the bowling ball. There's, what, thousands of different cores?
Yeah.
And just mainly it's the core and how you drill it, and the main reason is, like, how you release the ball.
Okay.
But the typical bowling balls that are, like, at the bowling alleys that's, like, open and to use for the...
For us dum-dums that, yep, don't know how to bowl?
For the public, they just straight-up plastic. Some people can actually make them curve if you throw them slow enough, but they usually just go straight down the lane.
Or in the gutter, in my case.
Yep.
Yeah, so practice, you know, a lot of it, I'll tell them, like, let me see it throw a few times. If they're a two-handed bowler and they got a lot of revs, I'll say, well, you don't want an aggressive ball, and then, nothing, you know, so... Each individual is a little different. The how they release, how they walk, everything's different. So through the years, I've learned just kind of tailor what I do to what they do to a certain degree. And
yeah. So how did you learn all this stuff, Scott?
Same way he did. I got, you know, 4 older brothers, and I tagged along with the old Jolly Lanes. And as long as I back in, you had to keep paper score. As long as I kept score, I got the bowl for free. But once I got back into it, like he's saying, all these new balls, I had to get on YouTube and start researching. I'm like, wow, that's come a long way.
This is all fancy.
I'm still learning. I mean, that's, yeah. And I tell the kids, when we go to a tournament, you see somebody bowling really good, kind of watch what they do, you know, pick up.
Yeah.
You get better by bowling against better people, and that's,
sure,
that's true.
Yep.
There's a method to their madness. It's like, I was just thinking about, like, Tiger Woods and how he, when he's not in trouble, has, you know, changed his golf swing so many times. And I wonder if that's, like, something that bowlers do.
Yeah. And I'll do that. I'll say, you know, let's try a higher arm swing. Let's try a little bit lower. I'll go down on the lane. I'll hold a towel out on the lane. Now aim for this towel. You know, that's where your break point is. It's just, you try different things, see what works.
Okay.
Now Blake, I haven't had to do much of him. He, you know, Mike's trained him well. He knows what's going on, and just some small little sometimes encouragement, pat him on the back, don't worry about that shot, go on. And
yeah.
Yep.
That is so amazing to me. Well, very good. Well, we wish you the best of luck. I mean, this is insane for a freshman to get to qualify for the state tournament. And are there any other local kids, you know, around our area that are headed up that way?
Luke Crabtree from Washington Courthouse, he qualified as an individual. And then the whole entire boys Miami Trace team qualified.
Okay.
And see, they come from the west. They split us all up, so us and a few of the teams go central. They come from the northwest, so they get to move from that area up, and then Blake moves up from here.
Okay, awesome. Well, would you please let us know how it goes?
Yep.
And understand that we're sending you all the best vibes from right here in the studio.
Thank you.
Tomorrow. So, well, we'll let you get back at it because we know that you have to get to Columbus, right?
Yep, but old Kilgore's making me go to school for a few hours.
You got to go to school for a little bit.
Sheesh, Kilgore.
A little more knowledge in.
Yep.
And then we're headed up. Yep.
Go watch bowling videos.
Not that I have my school stuff with me or anything because I don't.
You look fine. Look fine.
Yep. I'll just go sit in a class.
What class do you have to go to?
What time were we getting back, probably?
Maybe mine, right?
10.
Something. Yeah, that's probably it. Well, your class ends at 10:08, so.
Who's doing your class while you're gone?
I hope I got somebody there.
It's probably Mr. Rice or Mr. Eisenhower, like always.
They might be on their own today.
No. Well, very good. Well, we'll let you get out of here because we know you have a lot of stuff to do and to plan for, and we thank you, though, for coming in.
Yep.
Your dad said you wouldn't do it, so I'm impressed that you showed up.
Oh, I did it, because, you know.
He said.
Had to put in a good word on the internet for him, I guess.
There you go. That's it. He said, we were talking about it. He was like, yeah, he qualified for that. I was like, well, good, send him in. He's like, I don't think he'll do it. And then he's like, oh, he said he'll do it. I was like, awesome.
We'll make sure next year when we have our fundraiser that we'll have a media team there. We'll have you guys put a team together and show up.
We expect, yeah, we could do that.
You'll have to sign a waiver.
Yes.
No injuries. We're not responsible. Yes.
Well, it's okay. You also have to put those things in the bumpers up for me, too. Because if not, they'll just end up in the gutter. So, anyway. All right, we'll get back to school, you guys. And thank you, though, for spending your morning with us. Yep. We appreciate it. And again, all the best of luck to you. This is so cool. And we're proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and tell your dad we said hey.
All right.
I got to talk to Mom, but Dad didn't bother to show up today.
I think he's out driving a truck right now.
He is. He's probably delivering my beer.
Or he's just sitting in a truck or sitting in his office because he's the supervisor up there now.
Yep. He likes to get out in a truck some too, though.
Sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Dylan, well, do you have the weather pulled up there? And then we'll come back and tell you about a couple of special things that are going on this weekend here in the area. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right. So the weather forecast is, again, kind of all over the place. It's spring, so here's the deal. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Good luck. Today, partly sunny skies with highs around the 56-degree temperature. Tomorrow on Friday, a little bit of rain coming back in the forecast with highs of 63. And Saturday, about the same, but they are calling for 100% chance of rain on Saturday. Blech. I'm about over rain with highs of 62. And then down to 47 on Sunday, so again, kind of all over the place. Don't forget, too, Dylan, what do we do Saturday night?
Sleep.
While you're sleeping, what do we do Saturday night?
Snore?
Nope. We spring...
backward.
Forward. Jesus, Dylan. This poor kid, I tell you. Which means... you lose an hour of sleep, but...
I can't lose another hour, man. I already lost so many last night. I'm struggling.
I know. Yeah. But it stays daylight longer, so that's good.
I don't know, man.
It gets dark at like 5 o'clock.
But maybe I won't be as tired if I feel like I should be awake right now.
I feel you. So we do have a couple of fun things. One going on today, which is the open house for 4-H, the Spring Project Fair, and 4-H open house at the Jackson County Fairgrounds. And Maddie came in yesterday to talk about that. So if you have a child that's interested in 4-H or just learning more about projects, or you just want a free snow cone, I mean, I'd be down for that.
I'd like a free snow cone.
Right? Head to the Jackson County Fairgrounds tonight to the 4-H building, 5:30 to 7:30. They'll have signs, so if you just get up to the fairgrounds, you'll know where to go. This is free, and it's you can learn more about 4-H. It's much more than cows and plows, it says. Check out what Jackson County 4-H is doing for youth in your area. Open to all youth ages 5 to 18, grades kindergarten through 12th grade. Food games and prizes available, project displays, live animals, crafts, and more. Come and join the fun. And again, that is tonight, so don't forget about that. And then we do have the spring dance this weekend with Rick Kay and the All-Nighters, the Jaffe Spring Dance. That's Saturday, March 9th at 8 p.m. at the Memorial Building here in Jackson. And you can call or text Mitch Costolo, 740-418-0195 for more information on that Jaffe Spring Dance. And I don't know that they still have tickets left, but you can call Mitch and find out. So that's what we've got for you. What else is going on?
Well, I think we're going to be streaming Jackson baseball and Piketon County Game of the Week baseball.
Cool.
So I was here last night and I tried to get this wireless video system working and it was being a pain. So I was here forever figuring it out, but I did figure it out. So we should be set and good to go.
Well, very good. So you can actually.
And that's why I can do this right now. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, that's a very close shot on me.
So tell us, where can people watch these live baseball games?
Well, it should be Main Street TV on Facebook right here and Total Media on YouTube. We might also stream to the corresponding radio broadcast. So for Jackson, Mix 96 on their Facebook page, and for Piketon, Q100 on Facebook. So you can see it there and, of course, on YouTube, and you can always watch it back.
Okay, yeah, so because it'll be on there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Or until Facebook or YouTube decides to take it down.
Yeah, it depends if we played music or not.
Right.
If it catches a little bit of a song, then yeah, we might have to kill it, but hopefully not.
No, that's really, really exciting. So you can watch some live baseball games. And, you know, I know Jackson, I'm not sure about the other teams, but I know Jackson is really, really prepping up for a very, very good season.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some good teams and that'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm. And I've also been fiddling around with TikTok a lot. So we have TikTok now, and we go live with Matt in the Morning Crew in the mornings. So you get that on there, and it's just all Josh pressing the right buttons, and he's done a real good job so far.
So far, so good, huh?
Yep. I hope to start doing that with some more stuff.
Awesome. Well, very good. So what else is going on in the world of Dylan?
I had an essay due last night, too. That's part of why I was real busy last night. It was a 750-word annotated bibliography.
A what a what a?
An annotated bibliography.
What the heck does that mean?
Basically, you're writing an essay, but instead of actually writing it like you normally would, you're pulling sources about the topic you want to write about. Then you have to properly summarize what that was about and how it corresponds to your topic. And then you have to write it real weird. So if it's done by, like, Dylan Euler wrote this article, it'd be article name Euler, comma, Dylan. I don't know why it's like that. Then you have to sort it alphabetically. So, like, instead of being paragraph 1, 2, 3, it's, like, A, B, C, D, based off the
names.
What
is the point of that?
I have no clue. It was horrible. Mass communications.
Who writes like that?
I don't know. A psychopath?
I want you to go to that class. When's the next class?
An hour.
I want you to go to that class, and I want you to raise your hand and say, what in the heck is the point of this? And I want you to report back.
I don't know if I'll do that, because I don't.
This is stupid.
It is very stupid. I was pretty annoyed. I was up late having to deal with that bull crap. I mean, I did have like 3 weeks to get it done, but, and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're like me, I'd be up, like, I'd probably be starting about right now.
Yeah. That's basically what I did. My friend ain't even started yet, and he's got an hour, Corbin. Nice. So let's hope Corbin actually gets that stuff done.
My worst procrastination ever was I did a 10-page paper for an 8 o'clock class, and I started it at midnight. Mm. That was rough.
Yeah.
But I got an A. I felt.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'll get an A. I felt like my article was pretty good, but I also didn't realize that it didn't click to me as an annotated bibliography. I wrote a whole essay, 1,000 words, and then I realized it has to be summarized based off of the source. So I had to redo everything. And I was like, this is terrible. I already wrote an essay entirely about the topic. So like, why are you making me redo it to summarize someone else's work?
So what's the topic?
It was just about the decline of print books versus the growth of ebooks.
Gotcha.
So I was just kind of comparing, and through the sources that I managed to read it and do my research, it seems like print books are still doing pretty solid.
I mean, if I had my choice, I would read a print book.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to, accessibility. So the only reason ebooks are more popular is because you can just search it online and pay like, you know, $3.99 to get access to the ebook.
And it's instant.
Yeah. Or you can order it off of Amazon or wherever and pay like $10.99 and then wait for it to ship. And you have to go through that like 2-week cycle, and you got track on your phone. It's like now out for delivery.
Well, and then you have to. So, and I think a lot of people.
And the paper cuts.
Well, I think it's more about storing them too. It's like, so then you have all these books. What do you do with them?
Yeah. I ended up in that spot when I had all my print books.
But I still, if I had to choose, I would hold a book in my hand and read it.
I mean, there's also libraries. So, like, you know, you could just go rent the book.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think that's probably what most people who enjoy print books do. And I guess that's not really accounted for when you're looking up the sales of print books. You're not accounting for the fact that a lot of people just rent the book.
So you could have put that in your paper.
I didn't, though.
Well, you better go back and rewrite it.
No, it's already submitted.
So we were just at the library, and God knows they have enough books there.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of other fun stuff to do. So that is really, really cool. But, okay, well, I just think that you should raise your hand and say, I don't understand why I have to do this paper in this stupid manner.
Mm. I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Why?
I want to keep my good grade.
Don't be a wimp.
I got my credits transferred through this teacher. She's been real nice about getting my credits transferred. So, I mean.
All right. Yeah.
I want her to keep taking my credits.
If you want to suck up, fine.
Yeah, I'm going to suck up. Be that good kid that brings the apple.
You're that kid?
Yeah, I'm going to be that kid.
Like Ralphie in A Christmas Story where he brings the whole fruit basket.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I want those credits transferred, man. I'm trying to pull them from high school. I did that crap 5 years ago. I want that credits transferred.
All right. Well, we'll give you that. Save yourself graduation.
A yeah.
All right. So, well, is anything else exciting going on? Don't forget, we do Spring Forward this weekend.
I guess there's stuff going on, but it's not quite exciting.
Yeah.
Went to Casa Grande. That was exciting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
It was fun.
Okay.
It was real good.
What
did you eat? Chimichangas. I think that's what it was. Maybe it was a chimichanga. Whatever's like a deep fried burrito. That's what I had.
That's a chimichanga.
Yeah. I had a chimichanga. I had 3 chimichangas.
Oh.
Yeah. And deep fried ice cream. Yeah.
Nice. That sounds good.
It was very good.
All right. Well, I guess we got to get out of here for the day. Want to thank Blake and Scott for stopping in, talking about the state bowling tournament and teaching us all about bowling, because I had no idea there was all that technique and stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought you flung the ball down the lane and prayed.
That's kind of what I thought too.
Well, that's probably because that's how we bowl.
Yeah, that's just probably why I don't score anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just end up buying socks right before I walk in.
So you don't have to put your bare feet in those gross shoes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, will we be doing some news tomorrow? What are we doing tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we're doing some news tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we'll find out all the latest and greatest of the things that are going on. in our area. So thank you all for tuning in today, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye-bye.